Good morning. It is time to get up with Trevor today. The final audition. What do we need to see to confirm the QB is worth all the hype? Meanwhile, our insider has got it. The list of teams Deshaun is willing to play for. Wait until you see one that feels like a real possibility. And then we've got trouble in Seattle, where the Seahawks are not happy with all the things their quarterback is saying. So what happens now? We've got the answers. It's time to get up on a Football Friday with you, Greeny, at the Seaport. There may not be games this weekend, but that does not mean there isn't an enormous amount of football news to get to. It's a big day. We're getting to it, and we've got exactly the right crew to get to it with. Let's take a look and see who's with us this morning. Rocking and rolling. Tim Hasselbeck is ready to go, watching Trevor Lawrence throw footballs today. Bart Scott can't wait. Jeremy Fowler's got the inside, and Rob Ninkovich, his watch is going to play a significant role in today's program. You will see why. But let's begin with the news of this day, and that is Trevor Lawrence, who in just 2 hours from right now will be throwing footballs in front of dozens of scouts and coaches, including Jacksonville head coach Urban Meyer. The overwhelmingly likely top pick in April's draft is doing his pro day now because he's going to have surgery on his non-throwing shoulder coming up here and wouldn't be able to do it later. Now, over the last 10 drafts, there have been just three quarterbacks to earn a grade of 97 or higher from Scouts, Inc. Trevor Lawrence can add his name to this list. Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, RG3, all those among the others who've had the highest quarterback grades of the last decade. And so let's get right to this here. And Tim Hasselbeck, you and I are having a conversation this morning that I think is really interesting. One of the reasons to be impressed with Lawrence here is that this is something he didn't have to do, and that's a bit of a theme with him.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, you think about, the idea that he's moving his pro day up 5 weeks. You know, I spoke with Jordan Palmer, who's running his workout today. Normally, he works with guys and trains guys for about 10 weeks before they throw on their pro day. And if there was anybody that could, decide not to throw and have it not affect their draft status, it would be Trevor Lawrence. And I think, Greeny, you can take that back to the college football season. You know, with so many guys opting out, wondering if it was worth it to play it through, play through COVID, Trevor Lawrence basically started and led the We Want to Play campaign, and he was a guy that really didn't need to play. He could have sat out and still been the number one overall draft pick. So I think it speaks a lot to, one, his leadership ability, but two, his desire to just be out there competing, which teams have to love.
I agree completely. It's an interesting thought. And then, Jeremy Fowler, I will come to you, because when Urban Meyer decided to come back or to come to the NFL and start coaching in Jacksonville, the first thought you have is it must be because he wants to coach Trevor Lawrence. And you were telling me that goes back at least 2 years.
Yeah, Urban Meyer has been waiting for this. He watched Trevor Lawrence live in the 2019 semifinal against Ohio State. I'm told he came away from that blown away by the skill set. He said, this is the kind of guy that I need to coach. Now, he hadn't decided on the NFL at that point, but he was trending in that direction anyway, so he wanted to build around a top pick with a team that has a young, bright future. So this is a guy that he's very excited just to see live today, and that's the case with about 15 to 20 teams that are expected to be in attendance. I talked to one exec from a team picking later in the first round. They said, look, we just want to see the kid throw. We've heard all the hype. We want to see the ball come out of his hands live.
And that's the part of it I don't fully understand. Okay, great. They can see the ball come out of his hands. But I have to believe that, look, we all know he's going to be the first pick in this draft, right? So why is anyone besides Jacksonville people even bothering to show up to this, Jeremy?
Well, they want to talk with other execs and people around the league about some potential trades they can make, some moves in February and March. It goes beyond the draft. This is really a limited networking opportunity for some of these teams. There's no combine this year, limited pro day action. They're not going to see many people. So aside from the Senior Bowl, this is really it. And, there's some other Clemson players that they can see as well. And, hey, look, some of these guys maybe picking second or third or just holding out some sort of hope that maybe Lawrence would fall to them too, even though that's naive to think that.
Bart Scott, why are you shaking your head?
Well, because when I look at that initial list that we had, RG3, Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, I don't know if I really want to be on that list, because it shows me that only one-third of those players had success. And what's something that some of those players had in common? They went to a place in which they weren't equipped to be able to protect them early on, and they didn't have the weapons around there. So I look at Urban Meyer coming in, and I don't know if I'm Trevor Lawrence, if I really want to be able to get on that list. And I'm looking at maybe a team like Houston that may be a little farther in the process and say, hey, I know it would never happen. They would never trade Deshaun Watson within the division, but maybe him getting out and throwing earlier so he can try and send a signal, a help me signal, because he may not want to be a Jacksonville Jaguar, because we've seen teams and organizations ruin great quarterbacks. Would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes if he would have landed somewhere other than Kansas City? Would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes if he would have went to Cincinnati? I think these are all things that top picks have to consider. Yeah. We saw that consideration with Joe Burrow. So maybe getting out and maybe he gets a lifeline.
And let's just live in a world where we all don't expect that to happen. We've received no indication of it whatsoever. There have been no signals of that sort, Bart. But if there were a circumstance where, and this could sort of conflate the two stories that we're going to lead with today, we're going to get to Deshaun in a minute. If that were to go on the table, Deshaun Watson for the first pick in the draft, Bart, in your opinion, which side should and which side shouldn't do it?
Well, I think Deshaun Watson is really a top five quarterback talent in this league. I think Deshaun Watson is outstanding. He's still young. He gives you 15 years or at least 10 years of dominant football. He gives you a guy that you know is proven in his league. But yeah, we can say whatever we want about Trevor Lawrence, but he's an unknown commodity. And we've seen guys come in that are highly touted come in and flame out early because they couldn't get protected. Andrew Luck would still be with us if Indianapolis could protect him early in his career and he didn't sustain all the injuries that he had. We saw Carson Wentz come back to earth. We saw Patrick Mahomes, the baddest man in the planet, come back to earth because they couldn't protect him.
So it's an interesting point here, and we're going to get to Watson right now. And the reality of it is Lawrence could be a terrific player, could live up to all of this hype and not be as good as this guy, Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, from one Clemson Tiger to another, because the waiting game continues for him. By now, you know it all. He has officially requested a trade from the Texans. He has reportedly expressed frustration over the team's leadership in the front office. But the team does not show any indication that they are inclined at this point to make this work. So this is what I've been waiting to get to. Jeremy Fowler, I know you have insight into some of the places that Deshaun Watson is interested in going. Let's hear it.
Well, Greeny, here's the latest. I checked in with a source who said Deshaun Watson has a list of teams that he's intrigued by. You know, he's not pigeonholing anything, but he's got a list. I didn't get all the teams, but I was told the Denver Broncos, San Francisco 49ers are two of them. I also asked the source about the Jets and the Dolphins because they have the most draft capital this year and the next few years. I was told the Jets, probably not, maybe more so the Dolphins as far as viability. But Watson knows, look, he has to wait this out. He's got the no-trade clause in his contract. But it's all about the Texans continuing to tell teams, and they believe them, that they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. I've talked to several execs who say they think GM Nick Caserio is dug in here.
I mean, what? I mean, what? So, okay, so the Jets, not likely. I'm going to live in a world where you didn't just say that. Tim Hasselbeck, let me come to you, because I've not had a chance to talk with you during this entire process. Take me through your thoughts on this Deshaun Watson situation. It looks like we're headed for a standoff here. Where do you sit on it all?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this. I mean, we're talking as if, you know, Deshaun's got a lot of control in this. And I understand, you know, the no-trade clause and things like that. But if he desperately wants out, he can have the preference of teams all he wants. Is he really going to be in a situation where he says, hey, you know, no, don't trade me to New York because it's not on my list? Look, if he really wants out of Houston, then wherever, you know, Houston decides to send him, you'd think that he'd be willing to go. I think Jeremy's, you know, point about the draft capital, I think you have to follow that, especially when we've seen what it costs to get Matthew Stafford, you know, to L.A. So, look, my feelings on this one, I think, are different than a lot of players in that, you know, I think, you know, quarterbacks, the face of the franchise, they certainly have a lot of influence. People should value their opinions because they're a valuable piece, you know, of the franchises. But, look, there's also an element, too, of, like, what's the track record to be upset about, you know, hiring a head coach? Like, how many quarterbacks have a great track record of deciding who the head coach should be or who a quarterback coach should be or who offensive coordinator should be? Look, they're not asking him to tape ankles. He's not a trainer. They're asking him to play quarterback. They're not asking him to be the head coach of a football team. I think there's an element where a lot of these quarterbacks have gotten over their skis a bit in terms of what their influence should be, you know, in terms of, you know, making big decisions inside the organization.
It does feel, though, Tim, I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying on its face, just taken on its own is not wrong. But it feels like there's a lot more than that going on in this situation. It feels as though when you look at the way the former players are coming out, when you look at the stuff J.J. Watt is saying, when you look at Andre Johnson and the stuff that he comes out and says and all the rest of that, it feels, Tim, like there's something more than that that is going on here in Houston.
Oh, yeah, listen, I'm not disputing that the way things have been handled organizationally there has been great. That's not saying that the guys that are making the decisions there are making the decision better than Deshaun Watson would make it. That's not what I'm saying. Clearly, culturally in the Houston Texans organization, you know, players have left with a bad taste in their mouth on a number of different levels. And so, and that happens other places. I'm more referencing in terms of, you know, Deshaun's situation combined with, what Russell Wilson's going through right now, what Aaron Rodgers has felt like. There have been plenty of situations where, you know, I think the influence that the quarterback feels like he should have on the organization is a little bit blown out of proportion. That does not mean the way that Houston has been doing it has been the right way.
Bart Schott, go ahead.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, welcome to the new age, Tim. I mean, this is the time where you talk about player empowerment more than anything, quarterback empowerment. You talk about these are the CEOs. These guys have more impact, whether you win or lose, than anybody within the organization. And listen, I'd rather take Deshaun Watson's football acumen over a dude that's never played football before and a dude that was a team chaplain, and we don't even understand how he got that position. You know, I've spoken to some people within that organization, and they said, listen, they're dug in, but Deshaun Watson is dug in as well. Remember who this young man is. Remember his journey and his path to where he's gotten. He's a young man that got a house from Habitat for Humanity. He's a guy who raised his brothers and sisters while his mother was getting cancer treatment. This is a guy that's very strong-willed, that's 25 years old, and he can take a year off. We've seen this before with Carson Palmer. We saw that head-to-head playing chicken between the Bengals and Carson Palmer. You know, what power does Deshaun Watson have? He don't have to pick up that playbook. He don't have to open that playbook. He doesn't have to communicate, and he doesn't have to be a willing participant when it comes to football activities. If they're going to trade him, they better trade him before the draft, because if not, they're going to get less and less the longer and longer they wait.
Well, so here's what it gets interesting to me. And Jeremy Fowler, I'm going to come to you on this. So all of our NFL Nation, or several of our NFL Nation reporters, gave their projections of what they expect to happen with Deshaun. Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans, who was there day in and day out, I was reading what she wrote. She wrote, they're not trading him. She wrote, the Texans are dug in and will not trade him, and they're going to force him to prove that he's willing to sit out this season. Now, that is contrary to the idea of him being traded to Denver or San Francisco or the Jets or the Dolphins. Jeremy, what is your sense of the likelihood that he is traded before the draft?
Well, Greeny, talking to other execs around the league, they believe that coming from the Patriots school, the new GM, Nick Caserio, that he's going to try to prove a point here, and he could very well wait this out. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen before the draft so they can get that capital. But you could see a situation where you get to offseason workouts, you get to training camp, and they're daring Deshaun Watson not to show up, knowing that now that he's on his second contract, veterans under the new collective bargaining agreement can't get their fines rescinded, so they could start fining him eventually hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if Deshaun Watson really wants to hold this out and dig in, which I believe he's thinking about, it's going to hit his pockets.
All right, my producer is begging me to go to the next thing, but I have to address Bart Scott's face. Go ahead, Bart, quickly.
He doesn't have to sit out. He can show up and say, oh, my hamstring hurts. I'm not ready to play, and I'm not getting back on the field until I'm 100%. We can play this game. We just saw James Harden play this same game in Houston, and guess what? He won. So we can play that game. You can't force a player to play if he's hurt. You still got to cut that check.
It is the NBAization of the NFL. Tim, I'm going to give you the last word. Go.
Well, I mean, he could try to do that, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're into a situation where the team's still trying to recoup the money. You know, the notion that, you know, you can just fake the injury and they're going to continue to pay and say, all right, well, we're going to patiently wait for you. They're not going to do that, Bart. You know that. Like, the issue is, like, I think you got a new GM that it sounds like he's willing to be stubborn, and you got a quarterback that's unhappy. I think ultimately they end up moving him, but it's going to be, I think Nick Caserio's timeline, not Deshaun Watson's.
Okay, let's leave it there for the moment. There's much, as you can tell, there's a lot more to be said about this, and we will, but there are a lot of other stories I want to get to. Jeremy Fowler, let's run the hurry up. Let's start with Tom Brady's knee surgery. What do we have?
Well, Greeny, the Bucs are calling this a cleanup procedure. Now, they don't think it's minor because any surgery is considered major, but they don't see any sort of long-term effects. They believe Brady will heal up in relatively short order and be ready to run it back. And I talked to a source who said, look, it just adds to the legend of Tom Brady. He fought through an injury and won the Super Bowl. Now let's go to Alex Smith. I am told in Washington he wants to return and play. Talked to a source close to him, and so that's sort of the feeling right now. There haven't been official discussions with Washington head coach Ron Rivera just yet on how that's going to go. They know they have Alex Smith in their back pocket. He played pretty well for them last year, but it's believed that they are looking outside of their building right now for their future starting quarterback. They are aggressively pursuing some of these other options. Now in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz, I'm told a trade is in a bit of a holding pattern right now. You have the Colts, the Bears, they're still interested, but they're holding out a little bit. They're not going to give this huge haul that GM Howie Roseman wants. I talked to several people around the league. They believe that he was looking for not only a first-round pick, but more. And so he's sort of holding out hope, and the other teams are waiting this out. So it could come together soon, but it's believed the Eagles have to come down on their asking price a little bit.
All right, let's talk this one out a little bit here. Let me bring my crew into the conversation because I'm fascinated by this as it goes. And Rob Ninkovich joins the party with us this morning, and we'll get to you in a second. Good morning, Nink. But I want to start, Tim Hasselbeck, with you. Here's another one I haven't had a chance to talk with you about. A year ago today, Carson Wentz was coming off a year in which he had battled through things. He sort of seemed to emerge as a leader in Philly. That team was all banged up. He got them into the playoffs. Things seem to be going so well. How in the world did we get from where we were then to where we are now?
Well, I think the process of expectations for him changed. You know, the team had had success. He had his moments. And so people expected him to play at the, you know, his highest level that he had played before. And he wasn't able to do that. And because they decided to draft Jalen Hurts and because the team was struggling, you know, the arrow started pointing at Carson Wentz. That's how we got to this point. And I think that you can also look at the front office. I don't think that Howie Roseman has handled this situation properly. Between, you know, drafting Hurts, knowing kind of the situation you're in with your quarterback, with the contract that you've signed him to, and then kind of getting to this point where it's basically been, you know, already understood that they're going to move him. And now saying, hey, we're unhappy with the offers that we were getting. Well, so now what do? Be careful because you might get stuck with a player that you literally were trying to push off to any organization that would take him. So, listen, I think there's a lot of people at blame here. Certainly, you know, they could have been coached better. Certainly, yeah, he could have played better. And I think certainly Howie Roseman could have handled this situation drastically different.
So, Ninko, let me get your just take on the player himself. We've seen good moments from Wentz, and obviously we've seen some of the lows here. What is your sense of how eager teams should be to try and bring him in and build a winning program around him?
Look, I'm not sold on his arm talent. And this is the problem that happens when you have leg talent but lack arm talent. And then you go through an ACL injury and then you have a back problem and you start to slow down a little bit. And then you have to rely on that arm talent. I don't think that we've ever seen Wentz sit back in the pocket and throw the ball all over the field and you say, wow, like that guy can throw the ball and he has arm talent. So I personally think that teams look at him and say, okay, so we trade for this guy. Oh, no. Look at the price tag here and what we have to pay him in the next 3 years. You look at Chicago with Trubisky. Trubisky actually has better stats than Wentz right now. So I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for a team to be sold on Wentz, especially after his injuries.
That might be the first time I've ever heard leg talent. You know, we hear that arm talent has become like the popular catchphrase for quarterbacks. That's the first time I've heard it described as leg talent, but I like it very much. Tim Hasselbeck, you looked skeptical. What was your thought there?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. In his, you know, second year, he throws 33 touchdowns and 7 picks. So I understand what Rob is saying. He has not been a consistent passer. But 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions would lead everybody in the league to believe that there's certainly potential for him in his second year, by the way, to continue to grow and be a better player and you know, essentially be a franchise guy. It's the reason, you know, he was, you know, signed to the extension that he was. He essentially has Jared Goff's contract. They basically have the same deal. He was guaranteed over $100 million on a 4-year extension. So, like, to me, look, should everyone be climbing over each other? other to get to him? No, because of the injury history, because of the contract situation, and because his play hasn't been consistent. But this idea that, like, nah, you know what, he is not what we thought he was, I think it's premature to do that as well.
All right, it's interesting. You compare him to Goff. I mean, the Rams just had to pay someone to take Goff off their hands. The Eagles are looking for the other side of that deal. Let's see where they wind up. We're just getting rolling here on this Friday edition of Get Up. Coming up, the Seahawks are not exactly thrilled with Russell Wilson after his airing of grievances. What does it all mean? We will get to the bottom of that on the way. Plus, what will the Steelers do about Big Ben? Will he be back? And if he is that a mistake? Those are the questions, and we've got the answers. It's a Football Friday on Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and yesterday this was fun. Damian Woody was showing us how he celebrated winning a Super Bowl by buying himself that spectacular red mink coat. Rob Ninkovich, you won a Super Bowl. What did you buy yourself?
Well, it wasn't a mink, I can tell you that. So after the Super Bowl, I said, look, I'm going to splurge on myself. So I went and I got a Rolly. You know, I felt like I had to get a Rolex. And it was on my birthday. I won the Super Bowl on my birthday. So why not put Super Bowl XLIX, my birth date, and, you know, splurge on yourself, right? But
Adam, absolutely.
I like Woody's mink. It looks good, but I don't think I can pull it off, you know?
No, I disagree with that. In fact, I think I'm going to get you one of those as your next birthday gift. Meanwhile, as we continue, trouble in Seattle, where the Seahawks are not happy with all the things their quarterback is saying. So what happens now? We'll get to the bottom of it. And he hasn't coached a game yet in Jacksonville, but Urban Meyer is already under fire. The controversial hiring that has everyone talking. On the way. Get up, ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome to Mojo, the new app that takes the stress out of coaching kids' sports. Developed by the world's top experts and personalized for you and your team, all on your mobile device. Easy to use and guaranteed to deliver more smiles and more goals for the whole team. Less hassle, less work for coaches, more fun, more memories. More mojo for everyone. Coming to a field near you.
We are back on Get Up with Russell Wilson, who made all the headlines earlier this week when he expressed frustration over his input on personnel issues and the amount of times he gets hit over the course of a season. Could this possibly be another name that we add to the quarterback carousel? It seems incredibly difficult to picture, and yet this is the conversation that is being had. So let me bring the crew in here, and Jeremy Fowler, let me come to you, and I'm going to ask the question probably not the best of ways, but it's the only thing I can think of. How big a deal should we be making of this, what seems to be some frustration between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson?
Well, Greeny, it's a big deal because there is tension. You know, I'm told that Russell Wilson was frustrated because, you know, he had said some things privately to the team, and maybe he felt like he wasn't being heard, so he went public. And meanwhile, the Seahawks are not overly happy that he did so, that, you know, they would prefer that he would have kept things under wraps. Now, it's not a big deal because I'm told from a source they believe this is fixable. The coach, Pete Carroll, loves Russell Wilson, and he is hearing him right now about his offensive line issues. The truth is the Seahawks have not drafted well at offensive line over the last 10 years, and they have to get some things fixed. So they are on the same page there. Russell Wilson has not requested a trade. I don't expect him to do so unless things go really south. The Seahawks are telling teams a hard no that they're not moving them. So they have to mend some things for sure, and they're going to get to work on that. It's a fluid situation from that regard, but there's nothing imminent about him being moved by any stretch.
Okay, fair enough. So, Bart Scott, I come to you. What is your perspective on this situation? Maybe not what we were expecting. A little miffed is Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I tell you what, Greeny, about a year ago, we got really excited because him and Sierra was, you know, buying a place out here in New York, and we thought maybe this was an indication that he wanted to come, you know, to the East Coast so that she can be in a bigger market to do her work. But listen, this is more a little bit to say about nothing. This is, once again, an example of the LeBronization of the NFL, right? This is about Russell Wilson applying pressure to the team and saying, listen, I'm running for my life. I had Chad Wheeler sitting out there trying to protect me during the playoffs, and I'm sitting up there running around and running for my life. I've been sacked 100 times more than anybody else since I've been in the league. We see that he's a family man. He's tired of taking these hits. He's saying, go out there and get me an offensive line. Dwayne Brown was a good pickup last year. Last time. But they don't have any good players in their prime. They got Mike Upati, who's seen his better days, who can't stay healthy. Go out there, go get me Brandon Sheriff. Go get me Joe Tooney. Go out there and get me a stud, because I'm a stud.
And may I just say that no one is more of a stud than Rob Ninkovich. Before I get your comments, Chrissy, can we take a full shot of Rob Ninkovich? You knew we were talking about Russell Wilson today, and as a consequence, you put that picture of you sacking Russell Wilson. That's not the same picture that was up there the last time I saw you.
No, of course not. I mean, you have to have some type of subject matter, and your background has to represent that, correct? So I figured, why not put a picture of me sacking Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl, probably one of the biggest plays of the game. But let's not – no, actually, Malcolm, yes, you had a big play too. But anyway, let's move on to the Russell Wilson thing. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's going to be there. Pete Carroll's too smart. He understands, look, let's make him happy. And not to mention – DK Metcalf is the receiver on that team. If you're a quarterback, you don't want to go to another team and leave one of the best, if not the best, up-and-coming wide receiver in the NFL. So they're going to figure it out. They're going to get him some help. They did bring in Dwayne Brown, like Bart said, to try and help him out. But it's going to take maybe an interior piece like Tooney. He's a great player. He's going to get paid. So go out there, get him an offensive line. But he's not going anywhere. They're too talented. DK Metcalf's on the roster. He doesn't want to go somewhere else and throw the football.
Yeah, and you can't complain too much about their drafting when they took him in the second round. Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking within that division. He sees the Rams coming. He knows that the Cardinals are right there, and San Francisco's going to be back. So he's looking up at the division now, not looking down like he's accustomed to.
Yeah, look, I mean, life comes at you fast. Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, just a quick point to what Bart said. I talked to a Pro Bowl linebacker yesterday, and they said, follow the money. When a guy gets $35, $40 million, he's going to flex more because the money equals the power, and that's what you're seeing with Russell Wilson.
It also equals less money to pay other people, and that's one of the issues that we've seen everywhere. I'm not telling anybody they shouldn't take all the money they can get, but that is just the reality in a hard cap sport. We have another quarterback situation to deal with, and that one is immediate, and his name is Ben Roethlisberger. He's entering the final year of a two-year contract. His cap number for this coming season right now, is over $41 million. The owner, Art Rooney, has already said the team can't bring him back at that current number. And candidly, that's not even something you needed to say because everybody already knows it. So, Jeremy Fowler, when I first met you, it's because you were covering that team. You know the Steelers as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. What is the latest with Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, Greeny, Roethlisberger and the Steelers were scheduled to meet this week. I'm told Roethlisberger has been in the building, so those talks are likely ongoing. A lot of people in that building believe that Roethlisberger will be back for another in what might be a final season. So that's the buzz right now, but there is a lot to hash out. There's that contract. How do they restructure it? Do they ask him to take a pay cut? What about free agent Juju Smith-Schuster? What about center Marquise Pouncey? Does he retire? That's Big Ben's favorite player. And so these are some of the themes that they're discussing as we speak.
You know, those emotions that you saw from Roethlisberger, we've seen those shots of him crying at the end of their loss to Cleveland. That felt like it might have been about a little something more than the end of a season. It might have been a little bit about the end of an era, which clearly this would be. Bart Scott, always ask the rival. You're a Raven in your heart. What do you think? Is the best option right now for the Steelers to bring back Ben?
I mean, I think it's the only option they have left, because if they cut him, they're still going to be on the hook for $23 million, I believe, in salary cap hit. So, you know, with all the other needs they have to address, and, you know, one person that wasn't on that list for players that they have to pay is Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they gave up a ton to get. And he's one of the guys that could set the market at the safety position. Listen, they had a window, and the window was closing, and the window was almost closed, because we talk about looking up within the division. You know, we thought that this was a very flawed 11-0 team, and that's hard to say that. But, you know, Big Ben, people caught up to the offense, what he was trying to do, not willing to really push the ball down the field. And when you've taken as many hits as Ben Roethlisberger has taken, he's not willing to sit in the pocket and look down the barrel of a gun and still deliver the football. I experienced this with getting Steve McNair late in his career. We were 13-3, but he wasn't willing to sit in there and take those hits, because you have to start considering life after football. I think Ben has started doing that. And once you start doing that, you're closer to the end than you are to the middle.
So is there a young option that's out there that might not be incredibly expensive that you think might be a decent fit in Pittsburgh?
I mean, listen, if they want to make a trade for Sam Darnold and try and see if they can give up some pieces, it may cost them some pieces. But I think Sam Darnold could be a guy, you know, that if the Jets decide to move on. Listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers should have all their options open. We saw that they brought in Dwayne Haskins, seeing if they can maybe rehabilitate him and see if they can coach him up and he can mature a little bit. But, I mean, Sam Darnold and Pittsburgh is a fit. You know, Sam Darnold and Indianapolis is a fit. Sam Darnold and Philadelphia is a fit. You know, Sam Darnold is a piece, a good chess piece and a cherry chip that the Jets have if they decide to move him.
So let me go back, Ninko, to the original player we're talking about. You played, obviously, a lot of big games against Ben Roethlisberger in your career. What is your sense of whether he is the best option for the Steelers for one more season?
Yeah, he's the best option. We saw last year after his injury, Rudolph really wasn't the guy. If Rudolph would have went out there and actually performed at a high level, I think we would have seen the Steelers move on. But he's going to be there this year coming up. So if I'm his agent or in his camp, guess what? I'm picking up the phone. I'm picking it up. I'm putting it to my ear. I'm saying, hey, yeah, TB12. Yep, TB12. I have a 39-year-old quarterback. We're going to need some help here. We're going to need one of those gallons of avocado ice cream. We're going to need one of your gurus to come out here and help him out for the year. And, yeah, a box of the TB12 meals.
Too late.
That's what we're going to need. Okay. Thanks.
Hey,
thanks.
Avocado
tequila.
Two ladies eating too many Big Ben sandwiches.
I'm saying they don't really have another option. I like it.
They don't have another option. He's going to be there.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. So guess what? Get him on a program. Lean him out a little bit. Lean him down. Get him on the TB12. Have him throwing the ball. And he'll be all right. He'll be good.
Next thing you know, he'll be throwing that Lombardi Trophy across the Monongahela River. All right, let me get up and go here. We got basketball from last night. We got Steph Curry and Fuego, the Warriors star, hitting 10 threes last night, 40 points in total, as Golden State beat Orlando 111-105. Over his last eight games, Steph is averaging more than 35 points per game. From one superstar to another, it's on to round four at the Aussie Open for Serena Williams. She had two set points, to beat Anastasia Potapova 7-6-6-2. The 39-year-old Serena Williams again seeking to tie the record of 24 Grand Slam titles. Meanwhile, not so easy on the men's side for the reigning champion Novak Djokovic. Won the first two sets, then suffered a fall and was clearly in some pain. Dropped two sets, then ultimately won the fifth, beating Taylor Fritz in a match that just ended a little while ago. So he is able to move on. And our Australian Open third round coverage continues tonight. 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, 9 Eastern on ESPN2. It's highlighted by the second seed Rafa Nadal, who'll be in action. And the women's top seed Ashley Barty is back on the court as well. Tennis anyone on the family of networks from the land down under. All right, coming up, Cam Newton did not exactly light the world on fire in Foxborough. So what is Bill Belichick's next plan at quarterback? Our Patriots insider has got a name. You're going to want to hear it. It's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and the New England Patriots are one of many teams that have major question marks at quarterback right now. After 1 year of service in Foxborough, Cam Newton is a free agent again. He ranked 30th out of 33 qualifying quarterbacks in QBR last year. The Patriots do still have Jarrett Stidham on their roster. The former fourth-round pick has yet to make a start in his NFL career. He's thrown only 48 passes. There have been opportunities to play him, and they've chosen not to in the past. And Mel Kiper Jr. projects the Patriots will take Mac Jones 15 overall. The player from Alabama, people tend to put together Bill Belichick's team with Nick Saban's players because of the history of that relationship. And this man is Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for us extremely well. And Mike, I was reading on ESPN.com an interesting bold prediction from you on a direction they might go for quarterback. What was that?
Well, Greeny, Tom Brady goes down to Tampa, wins a Super Bowl championship. You're the Patriots. What is your response to that? It needs to be bold. And that's why my bold prediction was that Jimmy Garoppolo will come back and be their starting quarterback this season. Think about it. He was the original succession plan for Brady here in New England. In 2016, when they had to turn to him while Tom was serving that suspension, he was lights out, winning in Arizona the opening week when all the eyes on the NFL were watching him. And then the next week against Miami, he was great in a win against them before he got hurt. And that's the big thing when we talk about Jimmy. And look, there's no telling if the 49ers would be willing to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, but I was listening earlier in the show and I heard our own Jeremy Fowler say that the 49ers were a team that Deshaun Watson could envision himself playing for, so you could almost envision how the dominoes could potentially fall.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a fascinating possibility. And Mike, what can you tell? There was all this speculation, and I don't want to go back to all of it, that Bill really wanted to keep Jimmy G at one point and move on from. There's no reason to go back over all of that. But what can you tell us of the relationship between Belichick and Garoppolo and how highly Belichick thinks of him?
It's incredible, Greeny. You know, when he traded him, Belichick traded Garoppolo in 2017, he would text Jimmy Garoppolo late in that season, hey, congratulations, great job leading them to a win. And Jimmy even talked about it when he led the 49ers to that Super Bowl appearance last year, how they would keep in touch. So the relationship there is very strong, if indeed this was a possibility for the Patriots to bring him back. The connection between the two is indeed strong.
All right, Mike, stay with me. I want to bring the rest of the crew in here. I want to bring in a former Patriot, Rob Ninkovich, among our conversationalists today. And Ninko, I just wonder if you're feeling envious that Bill has remained sort of in texting contact with Jimmy G. I don't know if you still have that relationship with him, but what is your sense of that, of how likely you could see, if Bill is making choices right now, Ninko, how do you like the fit of Jimmy G there?
I mean, I love that take. I love Jimmy G coming back because he was supposed to be the man after Tom Brady, but that didn't work out and he went somewhere else. So I could see them going with a Jimmy G, but I also could see potentially a Mac Jones being drafted 15th overall because of that relationship that Bill has with Nick Saban. All Bill has to do is pick up the phone, call down there to Alabama, say, hey, Nick, what are we looking like here? And he's going to give him exactly what Bill needs to know to make the best choice. And Bill's already drafted 10 Nick Saban players from Nick Saban. So you know that there's a respect there. They coached together for a long time. They have a great relationship. We all know that. So there could be potential for the Patriots to use that cap money that they do have. They have a lot of money in the cap. Invest that in some defensive players, get a young quarterback, and kind of go back in time the way that they were when Tom was a young quarterback. They had a stacked defense, and they had a young quarterback. So they might possibly do that moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. So Tim Hasselbeck, do you think the Patriots are in a place right now where they should be trying to bring in a veteran quarterback and make a run, or they should be drafting somebody young and kind of starting over?
Well, I think the roster needs help, but I don't think Bill Belichick is looking for some type of long rebuild process in New England. And so, you know, look, Jimmy Garoppolo is 29 years old. You know, it's not like he's a 37-year-old quarterback. He basically would cost $50 million over the next two seasons. As starting quarterbacks go, that's a bargain. And, you know, as Mike Reese talks about the relationship, look, if Bill Belichick is texting Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, as he's having success on another team, he clearly thinks highly of him. I think it would be a tremendous route. And I think it's probably been a really poorly kept secret that, you know, San Francisco hasn't exactly been in love with how Jimmy Garoppolo has done out there. So I think it actually makes a lot of sense for both teams. Do they have the ability to put it together? That would be interesting. But if I were New England, I were in Bill Belichick's shoes, I would actually prefer to go that route.
Mm. And so, Mike Reese, let me come back to you with a final thought, and it's an interesting one, but you're around there every single day. How would you describe the level of pressure that they may feel right now to try to win quickly based on the fact that Brady left and in his first year won the Super Bowl?
Well, I would say externally, Greeny, that's all anyone's talking about here in New England. I mean, it's been Tom Brady, even Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, you have to feel the pressure from really the top levels of the organization to say, well, you know, the guy we had here for 20 years in New England just went down and won a championship. What is our response? And so I think a lot of people are waiting to see that response here in New England, the fans. And if you turn on local sports talk radio, I mean, Greeny, the pressure's turning up, which you'd be surprised at, considering that Bill Belichick has led the team to 6 Super Bowl championships. People almost saying, hey, I'll give him a mulligan for this year, but I want to see what he does this year going forward.
It's a tough crowd. I mean, 6 championships and you get it 1 year as a mulligan. That's a tough crowd. All right, Mike Reese, outstanding work. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. There's all that kind of news in the NFL. And then there was this story from yesterday. Urban Meyer, the new coach in Jacksonville, is defending his hiring of that man, Chris Doyle, a former strength coach at the University of Iowa, who was accused there of making racist remarks, belittling and bullying players. Here was Urban Meyer's explanation yesterday.
Well, I met with our staff about it, and I'm going to be very transparent with all the players like I am with everything, and listen closely and learn. And also, there's going to have to be some trust in their head coach that we're going to give them the very best of the best. And time will tell. You know, the allegations that took place, I will share, I vetted them. I've known the person for close to 20 years, and I can assure them there will be nothing of any sort in the Jaguar facility.
So you're confident there's not going to be any issues?
Yeah, they're all going forward. They're very confident.
So that was what he said yesterday. Our Ryan Clark on Twitter yesterday said, Urban Meyer's hiring of Chris Doyle is an example of why I praised Bruce Arians for the diversity of his staff. It's more than okay to be accused of racism and bullying of college student athletes because, as Urban said, he's, quote, known Chris for close to 20 years. Get mad, RC tweets, don't care. Let me bring Bart Scott in here. I've heard a lot of reaction to this from any number of different places. What was yours, Bart?
I mean, I think this is just a good old boys club all over again. Just because you've known somebody for 20 years, the allegations were strong enough that the University of Iowa decided to part ways, so they know him better than you know him. And then you look at the fact that, you know, other players are coming out. Well, what's the composition of a NFL team? It's majority African-American. So listen, I've been around a lot of places, and listen, if he comes in with that same type of energy, you know, he's going to have to use those muscles that he's tried to acquire over the couple of years, because I've been to some places where I've seen a couple of strength coaches take some L's, and I'm talking about physical altercations. And that's, listen, none of that is going to be tolerated by the players. Forget Urban Meyer. That's not going to be tolerated by the players, because these are young men. These are grown men with bills and families. And there's no way that you're going to come in that locker room or come in that weight room. But I've seen, you know, the altercations between players. Listen, nobody hates. Like, you talk about the love-hate relationship between your weightlifting coach. You come in there early in the morning. You don't feel like being there. You got them screaming in your face. You got them checking your cards and treating you like a kid. I don't know if this is going to be a good hire, but once again, this is an example of privilege.
All right, I have to leave it there for the moment, but there's much more to be said about this, and we will as we continue to watch that situation play out in Jacksonville. Meanwhile, speaking of Jacksonville, today, Trevor Lawrence's final auditions. Are there any question marks about the future top pick? We will ask that question to Todd McShay in the next hour of Get Up, next on ESPN.